Welcome to Read This Comic Before You Die, the podcast where we help you put together the world's greatest comic book collection. Probably. In each episode, we're going to present a comic series or graphic novel that we feel deserves a place in your collection. Stick with us and we will transform your life, help you earn the respect of your peers, and give you a collection of books that would make Ron Burgundy jealous.
So we are going back to superheroes this episode. I just realised that the mug I gave Lucy for a cup of tea is on brand.
Probably not.
Very on brand.
Not just any superhero, arguably the superhero.
The original.
Batman.
Oh. Well, buckle up, kiddo, because Batman's in this story. They're okay. All in this story. Everyone's in this story. It's Superman, Red Son. It is, I think throughout my comic collecting life, it's the comic that everyone brings up is like, oh, but you've read Red Son, right? Or you should own Red Son. Partly the reason we started this is just people just go, oh, but yeah, you've read Red Son, right?
This is our way of saying, yes, we have. Back
yes,
off.
We have, but more to the point, have you? Should you? Is it really all that it's cracked up to be? Let me preface this by telling you, dear listener, that I really don't like Superman stories. I don't rate Superman. Just, it's something I've never been into. But you can't help but have an understanding of how Superman's universe works.
Mm.
You understand who he is, what his day job is, what he stands for, who his enemies are. And along comes Red Son, I believe in the year of our Lord 2003.
Indeed.
By Mr. Mark Miller. DC every so often publishes like runs of comics of what if?
Yeah.
What if? You don't need to know all this, but basically they were doing this. They put three issues out of a sort of what if?
It's under the Elseworlds banner.
It was, yeah. Good product knowledge.
Good product knowledge.
Yeah, and so Red Son poses the question, what if Superman, as a baby, hadn't crash-landed in a Kansas farm, but had in fact crash-landed in a Soviet Union? And that's where our story starts. It starts with an escalating Cold War, and there's rumours abounding that you know, the Russians.
Or the Soviets.
The Soviets have a Superman, and it's sort of like headlines in the Daily Planet. People are like, yeah, sure it is. And then a satellite hurtles towards Metropolis, and everyone's like, oh no, we're absolutely buggered. And then out of the sky, is it a bird, is it a plane? Nyet!
You've been waiting this whole time. Since we said we were going to do this, you've been working your way up
Nyet.
To that.
Is Superman, champion of the common worker, who fights a never-ending battle for Stalin socialism and an international expansion to the Warsaw Pact, he said, reading off his notes. Flawlessly. So Superman appears and is pretty much like, hey, everyone, I am Superman. What is up, you guys? And to which people are like, oh my God, he's going to kill us. And he's like, and yet, no, I'm not. I'm just going to save the people of Metropolis, fix this bit on top of the Daily Planet, and maybe you guys should try communism for a while. And off he goes. Now,
that's actual dialogue from the comics.
The actual dialogue, which in itself, like, that could have been the whole comic, just the whole, like, oh, what would it have been like if really, you know, he was all about communism and, you know, it's the red, white, and blue, not all it's cracked up to be. Would have been brilliant, but it quickly transpires that this whole satellite crashing down to Earth was all the work of Lex Luthor.
Oh.
And pretty much everyone else in the DC universe is exactly the same. It's just, this is what would happen if Superman was born in Russia.
Yeah.
And just, it's a joy from start to finish. It's just hysterical. Lex Luthor is just still his nemesis. But
the criminal genius.
Still, well, he's a fully sanctioned government genius then, because nothing's ever stood in his way to expose his criminal past. So he just uses his intellect to try and constantly foil the Soviet mega weapon that is Superman. So just the entire comic is him coming up with schemes, escalating schemes of like how he's going to take out Superman.
And each episode, it's three parts, isn't it? But each part is set in a different time, isn't it? It kind of skips like 10, 20 years per episode. And obviously the characters get older apart from Superman.
Lex gets more and more desperate.
Yeah.
And you just sort of see how the US fares as opposed to the USSR, who have Superman and communism. Kind of working out for them. They've got no worries.
Yeah.
If only real history. worked out that way.
Well,
one thing they needed.
It turns out that the USSR isn't exactly the sweet apple. It is rotten to its rotten at its core, which plays to the birth of Comrade Batman. Who you know, fights for the common good and exposes this, that, and the other. It's great. It's like all the key characters are in there, but
they're different, aren't they?
Yeah, there's just a slight twist. Like Wonder Woman enters the world, and she is again absolutely besotted by Superman. And Superman, big dumb guy that he is, just doesn't twig at all that she's besotted by him. Just thinks she's a great ambassador. But there's great throwaway lines of like, you know, like, oh, I heard you went to America, Diana. What did you think of it? It's like, oh, it's terrible. You know, they talk about capitalism, this, that, and the other, but there's children sleeping rough in the streets. I'm like, oh, this is such a good twist. She's not about the red, white, and blue. Mm. It's really Jimmy Olsen, no matter what timeline, is still a dick.
Oh,
yeah.
It's completely unlikable.
And of course, one of the key characters we haven't mentioned yet is Lois Lane, who, because she's never met. Because there's no such thing as a Clark Kent, like, for a moment. It's been a while since I've read it, but Clark Kent doesn't exist.
Nope.
There's no need for him.
No.
And so Lois shacks up with Lex Luthor, right? Yeah.
What? She
does.
Yeah.
Oh, girl.
And she's quite the devoted wife.
Girl.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, without Clark to sort it out. And it's just so much fun. Like, Lex just getting increasingly more and more annoyed. And, you know, so eventually the United States starts breaking apart as capitalism destroys all the natural resources. People start taking up Lutheranism, and, like, eventually the USSR and America become, like, there's a new sort of, like, Cold War front as they build and poise against each other, and just Lex goes all out to destroy Superman.
We start creating a lot of the kind of pantheon of villains from the Superman comics, like Brainiac and... Not Brainiac, sorry, no, it's...
Doomsday and everything.
Yeah, Parasite and Atomic Skull. He creates those.
Yeah, they're literally creations of Lex sent out to destroy Superman. All of which never work.
Of course.
It's
pretty good. We probably should give a shout out to the artist as well. It's like it was a dual art team. It was Dave Johnson started it off, and Killian Plunkett came in halfway through the second part and then finished off the third.
Mm.
So I don't know why it was split. But the art style, you don't really notice much of a difference, to be honest.
No, it's a fairly flawless transition, which is... nothing bad against either man.
So, other character we haven't mentioned yet.
Right.
So we've got your Supes. You've got your Wonder Woman, and there's the other part of the Trinity who plays a big part in this.
Batman.
Yeah, but he's got a Soviet
Batman.
Look.
Batman.
Yeah.
He does. He's got a sweet woolly hat.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, again, you know, like, whilst it is a lot of fun exploring the United States sort of breaking up and flundering, Batman's there to expose the inner workings and get revenge against his parents that were killed under similar but not the same circumstances. You know, again, it's exactly the same sort of character, but just in a different setting. He uses his mind to, like, outfox Superman and Wonder Woman to an extent, and then just takes it just a little step further by maybe doing some things that...
He's more of a terrorist, really, isn't he? More than
he's sort of, yeah. He's sort of, like... feared by some, respected by others. You know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And as, you know, communism in America rise to powers again, you see the Batman rise up inspired by this legend. It's a lot of fun.
It's been very influential as far as other media goes. So, like, I hadn't read Red Sun when it came out, but I remember playing some of the Batman games, and you had, like, the Red Sun Batman skin.
Oh, yeah, didn't you?
And I think that made it into the Injustice games as well.
Yeah, it definitely did. So
it's obviously had some kind of legacy.
Was there one in, do you remember that, the DC MOBA Turbine made?
Yes.
I think it was in that as well.
Probably was, actually.
Infinite Crisis?
Yeah, I'm sure I saw that. I'm sure it's on the screen. I didn't get to play it, but I definitely remember there had been talk of it.
Yeah, they had... Gotham by Gaslight and everything in there as well. So they had a lot of alt costumes.
Yeah, but this is by far... I mean, I preface this with I'm not a massive Superman fan, but this story is just so much fun.
Are any of us particularly big
Superman? Well, I was going to ask, so what were your first Superman memories or exposure? Or
Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Ooh.
Yes, please.
Yeah, fair play.
Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain, wasn't it? Yeah.
Two-time viewing in the James household.
I think I had the old syndicated TV series, the one that was literally like, is it a bird, is it a plane?
George Reeves one?
Yeah, but like they had it running on like Channel 4 on a Saturday
they
morning.
Did have it when I was growing up, they did have it run, but I was around when the Christopher Reeve movies opened, so we were going to see those in the cinema and loving them, but I was never, as far as comics went,
yeah.
I never read them, as I found them boring as hell, like in the comics. Like I was always reading Spider-Man and Batman, but
Love
the movies. But
loved the Reeves films as a kid.
Even Superman 3?
But the scary robot that still gives everyone nightmares. Yeah, I like that. I think what put me off Superman is, as a youth, my friend was really, the friend that got me into comics, like, he was really into them, and he bought Hookline. Like, he took me, I think the first trip to the comic shop was for him to pick up the Death of Superman issue.
The Doomsday one.
Yeah, well, that had just happened, because I remember it being on the radio, and I remember it being a thing.
Wow.
He's like, we've got to get to the comic shop early because they're giving away this poster where it's all the superheroes like carrying him in his coffin. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so like, because everything runs slower coming across the Atlantic, not only did he pick that up, but the guy at the comic shop was like, you'll be wanting to read this. And it was like, what's this? Like, this is the issue with Superman comes back from the dead.
Oh.
So it's like, in one fell swoop, you had his death, his funeral, and the return.
Wow. they did milk it. So I was working at the comic shop at the time, and the amount of mainstream hype for that was phenomenal. Like, we actually had like the local newspaper come in and wanted to do like interview punters who'd queued up to get issue 75 of Superman. It was black, it was polybagged, black bag, and he had a black armband in it as well.
God, you didn't get that stuff to
no, I think it was like a fold out, like the scene where eventually Doomsday actually kills him, you fold it out and you've got like Lois holding him going, why? But he didn't come back straight away. So what they did there, he was dead, and they were going, no, he's definitely dead. He's gone, he's dead, he's not coming back, he's dead. He's absolutely dead, right? And everyone's like, yeah, sure. So they did, I think it was called like Rise of the Supermen or Return of the Supermen.
Yeah,
and they had four different Supermans. You had a Superboy, which turned out to be a clone.
Yeah.
You had Steel.
Yeah.
Which was a guy called John Irons who was inspired by him and basically built a suit of armour. Wasn't at all like Iron Man, kids. had a big hammer. Wasn't at all like Thor. And then you had the cyborg Superman.
I was going to say, I remember.
Technically, he was evil.
Yeah.
And there's another one I forgot. But it was like, it was basically, they went for about a year and it all kind of culminated with Superman eventually coming back.
And he came back with a mullet, I think.
He came out with a 90s mullet. He had a black,
incredible.
Yeah, he had a black costume with a silver logo. Which looked really cool.
That's not the one they cut from Justice League, is it?
Yeah, so the rumour is that there were apparently there was footage of Henry Cavill wearing...
It was in the first trailer.
Was it?
Yeah, I swear it was in one of the trailers and everyone was like, oh my God, they're doing it. And then, no, they didn't do it.
Okay.
I think that was in the Snyder Cut.
Incidentally, Henry Cavill cites Red Son as one of his influences for when he took up the role for Man of Steel.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, Superman remains Superman. Like, he really isn't a bad guy, no matter what side of the planet he's born on. He just always wants the best for everyone.
Yeah.
Good it's just, man.
I mean, I think he is a Marmite character. I mean, without him, he was the first superhero, so he wouldn't have had what we've got now.
Yeah.
Which some people might think that would be great if we didn't have that. But personally, I love superhero comics, good ones, but I have never really attached Superman as much as any other character. But saying that, Red Son is a standout one. I'm hard pushed to think of more. There's one which kind of takes a similar spin on this. It's called The Nail. And so it's a Justice League one.
Okay.
And again, it's an Elseworlds spin-off. And then the idea is Jonathan and Martha Kent are in their pickup truck in Kansas and they hit a nail, which gives them a flat tire. So they're not there when the rocket ship lands and Superman... Spoilers, Superman it just mysteriously disappears. And so it's about, without him influencing and being a beacon of hope for all the other heroes, what happens to what would become the Justice League? Because this is not this character to kind of put them. But I won't go. We'll probably talk about it on another episode, actually, because it's worth picking up. It was actually written and drawn by one of my favourite artists, Alan Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And that, to me, was a really good Superman story, even though he's barely in it.
That's cool.
Which is probably why I like it.
Because I never... I mean, I've read the, the name escapes me, the famous one with, I think Frank Miller wrote it.
The Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
I read that, and I was like, yeah, okay, Superman's in it, good.
Yeah, I think he works better as a supporting character.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I find, not to dunk on Superman too much.
He can take it.
I prefer when characters have elements of darkness, which is obviously why I gravitate towards Batman, because Batman is ultimately about mental health and sort of, I'm morbidly fascinated with the darker side of humanity and that kind of stuff, which is why I really like Batman, because Batman goes to really dark places. And I just find that more interesting, the fact that he's constantly got this inner turmoil rather than Superman, who just seems to be so black and white about things, which is why the Superman stories that I like and the appearances of Superman that I like are when he is forced to make more difficult decisions and when he's kind of forced into that grey area.
Yeah, because I think the only run I really enjoyed of Superman was in the mid-80s when John Byrne picked it up after they did the first Crisis stuff, where they basically tried to simplify the whole DC universe. They kind of not depowered him, but they scaled his power back, because he was literally, he could do anything. He can go, he can travel in time, he can do this, do that. So they kind of made him a bit more vulnerable. And I think the big thing they introduced was basically he's vulnerable to magic, which I think they've kept.
Okay.
So he's not godlike. He does have a weakness. And so the run of John Byrne did was great, which I think ended with the controversial thing where he basically banished, or technically executed, like Zod and the Phantom Zone criminals, and basically kind of like killed them. Which, incidentally, when people were getting like out of their pram about Man of Steel, where he basically kills Zod, that, you know, saying Superman would never do that. He does have form.
His precedent. But yeah, I think as a character, he works best as a MacGuffin, or certainly in a supporting role. Like, he's literally perfect for that. How will I ever escape this?
Yeah.
Because Superman tears off the roof. But yeah, going back to the story that I promised you, like, again.
So in a previous episode, the American Vampire episode, Neil mentioned to ask us to remind him about Superman porn, which I'm not quite sure how this is going to go.
So again, like, the whole point of this is, like, Red Sun's always like, you have to read Red Sun, you have to read Red Sun, you have to. And I resisted it for the longest time, which I do. I have a stupid habit of something, if someone tells me I have to do something, I'll put it off for as long as possible.
This is why
I do that actually sometimes. If people keep, I don't mind if people recommend things to their conference, but it's when people bang on about it, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah,
so I've banged on about Kill or Be Killed and Simon Says Run on Thor, and Neil's like, I haven't it.
Into the Badlands is on my list, admittedly. Oh,
one of the best TV shows out there.
Yeah. Progress. So yeah, so I was at a Comic-Con, and I'd finished for the day, and I was walking past the table, and normally at Comic-Cons they have like graphic novels, and if they're not at price, there's maybe like a quid off, but like this was quite a good table, quite good prices, quite fair.
Yeah.
And so the one that I really wanted was Sunstone, which we've covered in previous podcasts before. But Sunstone, which for those of you uninitiated, is a romance story set in the S&M slap and tickle world.
Oh.
To which it was done by one of my favourite artists. I'm like, I definitely want to pick this up, and I didn't mean to Amazon it, but here it is right now. But of course, like all British men buying things that are a little racy, I had to take the newsagent porn approach. And so what it is, I picked up Sunstone, and underneath it, I had the first collected edition of whatever the latest Moon Knight was at the time.
Right.
And I put Red Sun on top of that. I took it to the cashier and was like, there you go, quickly, please, quickly. And that is...
Do you have a bag?
No, not a clear one. And that is how Red Sun came into my possession. So I was on the train home from this Comic-Con, and obviously there's only so many I can take out of my bag and read, and Red Sun seemed the safest, and I was like,
couldn't take the smut out.
Couldn't take the smut out, but I was just like,
own it. Read that smut.
Empower that smut. Stand up and do a reading from it. But like, yeah, I read it on the train home. I'm like, huh, I really should have read this earlier. This is amazing.
Wow.
There you go.
So yeah, heartiest recommendations of Red Sun. If you've been putting it off like I did, please drop everything. Pick it up now. Add it to your collection. You will not be disappointed.
Boom.
There we go.
So, thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode and another graphic novel or comic series you need to have in your collection. In the meantime, you can follow us on BAM Comics Cast on Facebook and Twitter. We do have an Instagram, but, you know, one day it might get updated.
We'll get right to it.
Still don't know the password. Alternatively, you can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm under Stoon Army.
I'm at Lucy James Games.
And I'm at Neil Gortz with a Z. So give us a follow. Tell us your favourite Superman stories. Or is there any other superhero that just doesn't gel with you, but you've always wanted to get into them.
Doesn't tickle your pickle.
Wow.
That's a new one.
That's a Geordie one.
Is it? Tickle your pickle?
Doesn't tickle your pickle.
Okay.
We say that all the time back home.
Okay. That's what we call it on.
Yeah.
And until next time, tickle your pickle.
Oh, no. Bye.
Bye.